Good morning. It's so good to be with you today as we continue our Level Up series about spiritual maturity. One thing before we get started, I just felt led that we would start with a time of focused prayer. There's been just a lot happening in the lives of members and attenders in our church, and I just want us to pray for one another, if that'd be all right. And nobody's going to ask you what specifically, and if they ask afterwards, I'll give you a great little Baptist way of keeping it private. You can just tell them it's unspoken, all right? But if there is something today where you're here this morning, and there's just something on your heart that it maybe it's something to do with family, maybe it's personal, and you would just like to know that someone is praying for you today, would you just lift up your hand? Again, I'm not going to call anybody out. You can just see. There's a number of people. Keep those hands up for just a second. If your hand is not up, would you just look to find someone whose hand is up near you, and would you pray for them as I pray over us this morning? Let's pray. Father, we come to you so thankful that Jesus has made a way that we can come right to the throne room boldly with our requests and with our hurts. Lord, I pray for these that have raised their hand this morning. Lord, there's something going on that it just needs prayer. It can only be dealt with by prayer. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would lead for wisdom, for healing, for guidance, for comfort, for peace, whatever is needed. Lord, we are told in your word that when we don't know what to pray, that the Holy Spirit will groan on our behalf to the Father. And so, Holy Spirit, would you groan on behalf of these dear brothers and sisters today for what they need? Would you bring that request up to the Father? Lord, as we go into this time of worship through the Word, Lord, allow us to be sensitive and to be obedient to what you would have for us. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. This series, Level Up, is again about pursuing spiritual maturity. If we're going to have spiritually healthy families, spiritually healthy households, we must pursue spiritual maturity. We started looking at the fact that we are told to grow up, to move from spiritual milk to spiritual meat. We're then told that we are to love God with our whole being and then to love one another as we love ourselves. Then we're instructed as this pursuit of spiritual maturity that we're going to obey what Jesus has commanded us. If we want to be wise builders, we will obey him. And as we obey him, we will be distinct from the world. We won't be looking to culture for what is normal. We'll be looking to the Word. And one of those areas that we will be distinct is that we abstain from sexual immorality. That's sort of a brief summary of the last 5 weeks or so. And so as we come to today, you'll notice in the outline an introductory remark. The topic of today's message is both unpopular and often misunderstood because of our growing disdain for the concept of submitting to authority. There are a lot of unpopular opinions in the world. In fact, many of us hold unpopular opinions at times. For instance, I probably hold a very unpopular opinion that coffee tastes like ground up chalk, and so I don't drink it. For many here, that seems unfathomable. I'm surprised nobody got up and left because of that unpopular opinion just now. I have many unpopular opinions, I'm sure. I don't like anything added to my ice cream. I don't want chunks of anything. So the marble slab is no good to me. I just want pure ice cream. Unpopular opinion, I know. Let me get a little bit more unpopular, especially here in Texas. I don't like country music. I know. It's unpopular, but I've just never been able to get into it. And Don't even try to send me your favorite one because I'm just not going to listen to it. How about this one as an unpopular opinion? I think Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. I'm actually happy he's the Cowboys quarterback, and I know that's an unpopular opinion. But when it comes to unpopular opinions with God's Word, see, we can differ in opinion about coffee and music genre and even quarterbacks, but when it comes to God's Word for God's people, it doesn't matter what our opinion is, it only matters what God's opinion is. And unfortunately, at times, that makes us have to submit to His will and perspective over our own. Again, as we are distinct from the world. And this morning, the passage that I felt like we need to look at in a topic on spiritually healthy households deals with the household codes of the New Testament. And so with that, we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read a fairly long selection, Hebrews 5:22 through chapter 6, verse 4. And so this is what it says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As I mentioned, as you probably could tell from reading that passage, this is often an unpopular, and I would also submit a often misunderstood passage. Now, I want you to understand that I read from chapter 5 into chapter 6, just as a little note, little trivia, the chapter breaks are not necessarily inspired by God. They were not in the original letters. They were put down to help keep track of copying by hand, one copy to the next. And so sometimes a chapter break is in an unfortunate position because it seems to indicate that a different thought is now taking place, where really chapter 5 running through chapter 6 is one thought. So just to understand that, it's important to understand the entire context. So as we look at this passage, I've got a couple of thoughts, a couple of principles about how to understand this. So let's go ahead and jump in. Understanding this passage, number one, God has ordained certain roles for the home. God has ordained certain roles for the home. I've used that word ordained specifically. It means that God has put special instruction for the order of the home. Now, here's where this passage often gets misunderstood. It gets misunderstood and misused by making it seem that because God is asking first wives to submit to husbands, that somehow wives are inferior or less than their husbands. That is not true. That is not what this passage is indicating. The note here that I want you to see in the outline is this. These ordained roles do not negate the fact that men, women, and children are equal in creation and redemption. Every man, woman, and child are equal in the fact that God created them equal and created them in His image. They are also equal in redemption, meaning that when Paul says that there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, when he's talking about the gospel, he's saying there is an equality of redemption, meaning both men and women have an equal right to sin, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And in the same way, we are equal in that we come to the same cross for forgiveness, for our sin, and for restoration. In fact, in heaven, Jesus even describes that there will not be marriage in heaven, meaning that it is an equality in heaven. But yet on earth, for order's sake, God has ordained certain roles. Just to push it one step further to understand that asking wives to submit to the authority of husbands is not a less than quality. Understand this. Jesus, who was equal with God the Father, willingly submitted to the Father's will. And we would not dare say that Jesus is less than God the Father. Yet he willingly submitted. Understand that submission here is a willing, voluntary submission. When I was in high school, I think I've mentioned this before, but me and my friends really, really got into WCW wrestling. Anybody got like a wrestling past where you like got in? Okay, me and Brandon and Dwayne. Okay, a couple of people. All right, some of you just like, I'm not admitting that in church. It's not that kind of confession. All right. But we got really into it. We went to some matches. We bought a belt online and we would wrestle each other. And you get to keep the belt week to week if you won. And we would all have, just like the pros would have, their submission moves. I mean, you know, Ric Flair, woo, you know, he would have the figure four and it would be the submission move. You'd have Chris Jericho, the lion tamer. I think that dude's still wrestling somewhere. And I came up with my own wrestling move called the T-Train. And if I could get somebody in the T-Train, they would submit and the match would be over. Often when I would think about submission in a text like this, I wrongly bring to the text the thought that someone is forcibly causing someone to submit and tap out like an MMA fight or WCW wrestling. That is not what Paul is saying. Any submission is a willing, voluntary, out of love, submission to authority. Notice that for the husband, Paul never, not anywhere in Scripture, does it say, husbands, subdue your wife under your authority. Never. Not one time. For many, it would seem logical, wives, submit to your husband's authority. Husbands, rule over your wives. That is not what Paul says. What he says, wives, willingly, lovingly submit to the authority of your husband, and husbands, love your wives. In fact, he elevates it to love your wives as Christ has loved the church. And in many situations, this passage has been weaponized and misunderstood and used to put a thumb on women or wives by men. That is not the intention of this passage. That is an abuse of this passage. For when a husband rightly understands his God-ordained role, it is to love his wife. And in many ways, you could even say it this way: as the wife submits to the authority of a husband submits to the needs of his wife. And how do I know that there's this sense of mutual submission to each other? Well, again, in context, I didn't read this, but in verse 21, right ahead of these instructions, verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then it goes into the household codes. If you want to go real deep dive on it, verse 21 is actually a participle for you grammar fans that supports the message, be filled with the Spirit. And there are multiple ways that it describes how to be filled with the Spirit. The last one is, be filled with the Spirit by submitting to one another in reverence to Christ. And so then he just picks up that thread. How do you submit to one another? By being filled with the Spirit. Wives, submit to the authority of your husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And then I don't want to just skip over, because I've included this on purpose for households. Chapter 6, children, honor your parents. This is also an ordained role from God. One of the reasons that we don't like this phrase, why it is so unpopular to think about submitting to authority, is that we are living in a culture more and more that rejects and distrusts authority. I mean, it's just spinning out of control. We don't trust authorities. And yet God says when we don't trust and don't willingly submit to the authorities in our life, chaos ensues. And so God has ordained order. He is a God of order, not chaos. And so in the home, he says, the husband is the head as Christ is the head of the church, and the wife submits to the authority of the husband as the church submits to Christ, and children submit to the authority of their parents, and fathers, don't stir your kids up to anger, but teach them how to love the Lord. This is a spiritually healthy household and posture. These are God-ordained roles. So let me go then to explaining this a little bit further with number two. Living within God's ordained roles is an act of worship. Living within God's ordained roles is an act of worship. Again, verse 21, we submit to one another, mutual submission, in the reverence of Christ. Meaning, it is an act of worship when a wife submits to the authority lovingly, voluntarily, of her husband. And it is an act of worship when a husband lovingly puts his wife's needs ahead of his own in the home. And it is an act of worship when kids honor and obey the instruction of their parents. And it is an act of worship when parents don't stir up anger in their children, but guide them in the instruction of the Lord. Our homes are a place of worship. You want to have a spiritually healthy household, then we have to take seriously the roles and the way in which God has asked us to worship Him in our home. So let's take this one at a time. Number one, a wife who submits to the authority of her husband illustrates the church's submission to Christ. So what Paul is doing here in this passage is he is setting up an analogy between husband and wife that gives a picture of Christ and the church. I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this, but those who are married in the room, your relationship with your spouse is meant to give a picture both within the church, within your family, and to the outside world of Christ and his bride, the church. We are living, walking with flesh on examples of the gospel in how we love and treat our spouse. And so he starts with the wife. He says, wives, submit to the authority of your husband in the same way that the church submits to Christ. Now, understand this, that when we, the church, not just Harmony Hill Church, but all believers in Christ, the universal church, when we submit to the will and the authority of Jesus, when we obey what he has commanded, when we follow the path that he has set out for us, we know that it is for our well-being. We know that Christ is only asking us to do things that are for our good. And we can trust him in that. Christ, as our groom of the church, only will ask us for those things, which we'll see here in just a few moments, that bring us sanctified, without blemish, in moral purity to present at the last day. Doesn't mean that he's always going to ask us to do things that are easy, but it will always be for our good. And Paul says in the same way, wives, will you willingly, voluntarily, not because you're less than, you are created equal in creation and redemption, but will you give that picture of the church by willingly submitting to the authority of your husband in the same way that you would trust Christ as a member of his church? Because it illustrates that. Which then brings us to the second part of this. A husband who puts his wife's well-being above his own illustrates Christ's love for the church. Now, what Paul is doing is he is setting up an ideal situation that we should all pursue. He's saying for the wife to be able to trust the headship of her husband the way that the church trusts the headship of Christ, it is a both and. It's two sides of the same coin. Husbands, now, love your wife as Christ loves the church. And he says this, who gave himself up for the church. Gave himself up. Meaning, Christ died for us. And in the same way, husbands, we are challenged by God's ordained role to die to ourselves, to put our wives' needs ahead of our own. Isn't that what Christ did? To put his own needs ahead of us, Christ would have never gone to the cross. But you remember that struggle that he had in the garden and he prayed to the Father. If there's any other way for redemption to take place, remove this cup from me. And the Father indicated there is no other way. And Jesus stood up and willingly walked through the next 24 hours, 12 hours to the cross, to die for us, for our good, giving himself up for us. Husbands, you want your wives to be able to submit to the authority that God's given you in the home? Be a man that loves her by giving yourself up for her. And not only that, you may notice this, that in the instructions, it's like two verses for the wives and then a big, long paragraph for us fellas. Paul probably knew the ladies will be able to get this in a lot fewer words, and I really need to make sure these guys understand that not only do they give themselves up, but there is a secondary purpose, which is that Christ has loved and given himself for the church, that he is seeking to sanctify the church, to bring her into moral purity. And so as husbands, as we are the head of our homes, part of our goal, part of our responsibility to mirror Christ's love for the church is that we lead in a way that our wives become sanctified in Christ. That we never ask them to do something that would tarnish or create blemish morally. That we watch for them, we guard them against the attack of the enemy so that they will be presented at the last day morally pure, washed and sanctified by the Word of God. And what this sort of means on one level, there's a lot of applications, is men, we carry a responsibility to make sure that our homes honor God's Word. We carry a responsibility that those under our leadership are being instructed in God's Word and truth, that they know how to live in a distinct way, loving God with their whole being, loving others as they love themselves, and living distinct from the world. They don't have to look to culture for what's normal. They know that in that house, we look to the Word of God. And then the third thing that he says to the husbands here is not only do we give ourselves for them, but we are to sanctify and present them holy without blemish. But thirdly, he goes into this conversation about how a man doesn't hate his own body, but he nourishes and cherishes it. And that Christ does the same thing with his body, the church. And so all of a sudden, you're getting these two metaphors about God and his relationship to the church combined together. You have the picture of marriage, Christ the groom, church the bride, being merged with Christ the head, the church, the body. And he combines it by Genesis of when a man and a woman leave their households, they join together to become one flesh. And what he's saying there is this: when a man and woman come together in marriage, her body becomes his and his body becomes hers. They are now one. And he says, I'm really talking about Christ and the church. When Christ knew us and saved us, we became his body, and Christ nourishes and cherishes his body. And so he says, husbands, you love and cherish your body. And by the way, your body includes your spouse, because in marriage you became one flesh. And so in the same way, he says, I want you to consider how you would care for your own needs of your body and cherish your own body, that you would do so for your wife. Which means we make sure that I like to eat, so I'm going to make sure that my wife can eat. I want to be protected from harm and danger, so I make sure that my wife is protected from harm and danger. I want to be healthy, and so I make sure that my wife is healthy spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Like, I look out for her in the same way that I look out for myself. And then Paul sort of concludes by summarizing this picture of husband and wife, giving a picture of the church and Christ. And he says, so therefore, however, husbands, love your wives just like Christ loves the church, and wives, respect your husbands. I know this may sound like an unpopular opinion, but what God is saying is when we will willingly live within the roles he has ordained, we will have peace and security, and our homes will be a place of worship. But then let's move to the next part, letter C, if you will. A child who honors his or her parents learns to submit to the authority of God. A child who submits to his parents learns to submit to the authority of God. I just want to say that for kids in the room, you worship God when you honor and obey your parents. And also what's happening in that dynamic is this. As you learn to obey and submit to the authority of a parent, you learn how to submit to the authority of God. In 1 John chapter 4, it's a little bit different context, but I would say that the principle is the same. In 1 John chapter 4, John is writing about how the importance of us loving one another. And he says, if you can't love a brother who you can see, how are you going to love God who you have not seen? I think that the principle can be translated the same. If you cannot submit to the authorities you can see, how then will you submit to the authority of God who you cannot see? Child rearing and raising them with fair discipline and rules and instruction is part of our job to help teach them how to submit to God. So much of what we run into today, and I'm not pointing at anybody or any generation, but I'm just saying this. We have a growing number of people. Again, it's a crisis of submission to authorities, whether that authority is a teacher, whether that authority is a Sunday school teacher, whether that authority is an employer, whether that authority is a government, whether that authority is the church even. More and more we reject authority, those who we can see. And really the only stipulation in Scripture about when it is okay to buck an authority is when that authority is asking us to sin against Christ. We have to ask ourselves, is the authority in our life asking us to do something morally wrong or just something we don't like? Because God has said, I have ordained every level of authority. And when we allow our kids to disrespect and go around authority, guess what they're going to do with God? And you may find yourself here today, and by the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, you may be a person that bucks every authority. And I would just say this, ask God, where do I need to submit as a worship to the authorities you've put into my life? Children, learn to obey and submit to fair and godly authority in the home so that they will learn how to be submissive to God's ordained authority in their life. Let us be careful not to say that we love our kids and yet allow them to avoid any discipline for when they have disobeyed or lacked submission to the authorities in their life. Again, unpopular opinion, but you want a spiritually healthy home? You want a generation after you that has a spiritually healthy home? Children, obey your parents. And God says this, it is a commandment all the way back in the Old Testament with a promise. You want your kids to live long and blessed lives? Teach them to obey at home. Teach them to submit to authority. The idea is simply this. When we raise kids that do not submit to the authority at home or elsewhere, they then become what the Bible calls fools. And fools end their race early, very often. Lastly, a parent who raises a child to fear the Lord will gain them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that the goal? Isn't that the beautiful responsibility that we have that says, fathers, do not stir up anger in your child, but raise them with the instruction of the Lord. It's sort of a callback to Deuteronomy 6 about growing up and teaching them about belief in God and the formal instruction of God. And then as they rise and go to sleep, as they come in and out, the practical application of the Word of God as we model it. And then the proclamation as we proclaim it, as people ask questions about why we live distinctly in the way that we do. Fathers and mothers, parents, Let us not seek to stir up anger in our kids, but focus on raising them in the Lord. I want to just say one other thing about this. And I'm going to actually put it in this next category. I'm going to just press put a pin in this for a second. The last little section here, pastoral advice about application. And the reason I put it in this category is this. In the same way that in the book of, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, Paul writes something to this effect, not the Lord, but I tell you. I want to be very clear. Everything in 1 and 2 are those things that the Word of God has clearly stated. I just want to give a few pieces of pastoral advice. So the first 2 points, there's really not any workaround. This last one, I just want to try to shepherd us in how we might apply some of these things. So, the first one, don't rationalize this passage away. That would be my pastoral advice to you today. One thought is to say, well, we'll rationalize it away by saying, well, that is from, 2,000 years ago. Contemporary life has changed. Here's what I would say to that. Paul grounds it in creation when he quotes Genesis. He grounds it in the way Christ operates with the church. That's not just a cultural moment in time, as he writes Ephesians chapter 5. He's giving a timeless truth. Another way that I would say don't rationalize it away is by saying to yourself, my spouse does not do this. They're not the other part of this ideal situation, therefore I don't need to submit to this. I would just encourage you as a pastor, do not rationalize this away. You still have obligation, except for the areas in which it would cause you to deny Christ or to sin, to obey these principles. Wives, if your husband is not loving you as Christ loves the church, you find every way to willingly and lovingly submit to their authority so that they might see the picture of Christ and the church. Husbands, your wife is fighting you for authority in the home and is not acting, in a way that you feel like is pictured here in Ephesians 5. You keep loving your wife as Christ loved the church, pouring yourself out for her, seeking to sanctify her, and treating her as your own body, nourished and cherished so that she might see the gospel of Jesus Christ between Christ and the church. Kids, your mom and dad, maybe they're not even believers. You keep honoring your mom and dad as a training for honoring God, and you worship God when you honor mom and dad at home. Moms and dads, your kids aren't respecting that authority. They're running wild. You keep lovingly disciplining and teaching them so that you might gain a brother or sister in Christ down the road. And what the moment that I wanted to come back to under this pastoral advice, you can take it or leave it, this phrase, fathers, do not stir up anger in your children. We often think of, and rightly, the main application is thinking of a father with children that are still in the household. But I would submit, just again, pastorally advice. As you age and retire and have needs that your children, as they seek to honor you by taking care of you, do what you can not to stir up wrath by making it difficult for them to provide the care that you need in your later days. Make it easy for them to honor mother and father even to the very end. Secondly, pastoral advice, don't weaponize this passage. Do not weaponize. I told you it's often misunderstood. I feel like I've been fairly clear on not weaponizing it, but I feel the need to just at the very end to say, husbands, do not weaponize this and use it as macho bravado and, holding yourself up and demeaning of women or your wife. You will violate the very scripture that is here. And wives, do not weaponize this by shaming your husband, by saying, you're not being an Ephesians 5 husband right now. It'd be easier to submit to your authority if, don't play the role of the Holy Spirit there. Don't weaponize it. Children, don't weaponize this against your parents, and parents, don't weaponize it against your kids. The purpose of this passage is, again, verse 21, being filled with the Spirit, that we mutually submit to one another, putting others' needs ahead of our own. And then lastly, do maximize the gifts of those in your household. What I would say here, do not make these verses say what they do not say. Don't force in other stereotypes of what this is saying and what it's not saying. Husbands, as the head, as the leader of your home, you would be a fool not to tap into the giftings and natural abilities of your wife and then even your children at times for running the household. For instance, I don't want anybody to leave here with a sense of shame that if you're a husband and you like to cook, cook. There's nothing in this passage that tries to say that only women cook. You want to cook? Cook. I'll be very vulnerable with you. I am the last person in Lufkin, Texas, that you would want to do any household project at your home. I'm the last person chosen in our home to do that. My wife has great skill and ability, along with YouTube, to fix plumbing issues and paint issues, and I got nothing. I play the role of, can you go to Lowe's and get this? Yes, I can. Does that mean I'm not the leader of my home? Absolutely not. I am a wise leader who is saying, we will spend more money if I try to tackle this. Let me go to Lowe's and get you what you need. Does that make sense? Like, let's not be foolish with this passage. Still imagine, just like in our body here in this church, we use the giftings of men and women and children for the glory of God, and I am a foolish leader if I do not do so. And the same is true in the home. So that's just some pastoral advice as we close out this morning. Looking at the clock, I've run over with the unpopular opinions and the misunderstood passage of Ephesians 5. Let me pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. I hope you have a wonderful week. I pray that you'll honor and worship the Lord at your home. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us, for creating us equal. Redemption is equal. And Lord, thank you that we are equally called to submit to one another as we are filled in the Spirit. Lord, may we fulfill our ordained roles and bring peace to our home, order, and worship. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.